There's something about receiving a gift that you weren't expecting or that you didn't earn.
Ooh!
But there's always that one gift.
Oh.
Have you ever received a gift and you opened it, beautiful wrapping, beautiful ribbon, and you looked at it and the first thought that came to your mind was, what was this person thinking when they bought me this gift?
And sometimes we expect the gifts God gives us to come perfectly wrapped with a bow on top. So what are we supposed to do with the ones that aren't?
Favor is not about you. It's not about me. It's about God using us to bless the lives of others.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. Being a recipient of God's favor doesn't guarantee you a life of ease or filled with material things. This week, Charles Tapp explains that God's blessings come in various sizes and packaging and helps you discover the most amazing gift of all with his message, the gift of favor.
Several years ago, when pastoring in New York City, I received a very disturbing phone call. That's not anything new, for in pastoral ministry, you get a lot of disturbing calls from time to time. But this call was from one of our leaders in the church, and he proceeded to tell me that one of our young people, a young woman who was around the age of 15, 16, had become pregnant. Now, this was a surprise to me and to most of us because she was able not only to hide her pregnancy from the members of the church, she was also able to hide it from even her own family. Because it was wintertime, she always wore something thick and something long, and no one knew until she had reached the 8th month of her pregnancy that she was pregnant. And as I thought about this young lady, I began to think about all the hopes and all of her dreams and all of her aspirations that were now in jeopardy because she was a good person. She was an excellent student. She was extremely talented, but now her whole future lies in jeopardy because of one decision that she made. Isn't it interesting how one decision can derail the course of the rest of your life? One misstep, if you and I are not careful, that can change everything that lies in our future. But what this person proceeded to tell me after they shared this news with me, I found even more disturbing. Because the next thing they said to me was, Pastor, you know, because she's pregnant and she's not married, the church has to disfellowship her. In other words, Pastor, you know, the manual says that she must be kicked out of the church. Well, I know the manual better than most, and it doesn't say that anywhere in the manual. But I thought it interesting that was his initial response, that she's got to go, that she's got to leave her support system, the system that she needs more now than ever before. Pastor, you don't understand. She's not married. She's got to leave. And I've already talked to some of the other leaders, Pastor, and we're on the same page. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not on that page with you. I'm not even in the book with you. But she left on her own because she could not put herself in a place where she knew her actions would cause her great ridicule and great shame. Now, this was about 30 years ago, and times, as you and I know, have changed since then, haven't we? Because now, if you get pregnant out of wedlock, some young ladies see that as a badge of honor that they wear proudly. And it isn't interesting that we live in a culture today in society where nothing happens to the man. Nothing happens to the young man who participated in that act, but we lay all the blame and all the heartache and all the shame on the female. But not so then. This was definitely not the case in biblical times, in the time of Mary, because if you were unmarried and you were found with child, not only could you expect ridicule and not only could you expect shame, but many times you could expect your life to be in danger, because one of the things they would do if you were pregnant out of wedlock, they would stone you to death. Now you talk about painful way to go, being stoned to death. But that was the culture of the time. That was the social and the religious climate of the time, that if you were pregnant and you were female, and you were not married, then you could potentially be stoned to death. When you put this in its context and you look at the story that we just read in our scripture reading in Luke chapter 1, it gives us greater insight to what Mary must have been thinking when the angel Gabriel came to her and shared with her the news that she would be with child. Now we read this as part of the Christmas story, and we see all the beauty and majesty in it. But I guarantee you, when Mary was living this was not the thing that was foremost in her mind. I'm sure that when she heard the angel Gabriel say that you will be with child, she wasn't thinking about any sort of blessing or any sort of good news in her mind. She was thinking of the shame and the ridicule that she would have to put up with. She was thinking about her fiancé, Joseph, and how strange thoughts must be entering his mind, knowing that it's not his child. Her entire future was looking her right in the face, and it was in jeopardy because of this one message that the angel Gabriel brought to her. What I find even more unusual than the message is the context, is the way the angel Gabriel frames this whole story. Turn with me with Luke chapter 1 as we look at verses 28 to verse 31. Luke 1, 28 to 31. Look at what God's word has to say here. This puts it in a much better context. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly what? Favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was what? Troubled at his saying. Let me just stop here for a moment. I would be more than troubled at what the angel had to say. I would be troubled that an angel even showed up. You know, I think I told you when I did a series on angels, I would love to see an angel one day, but I've got to be honest with you. If an angel came to me in person and began to speak, I wouldn't care about what they were saying. I'd be frightened to death just by the mere fact that the angel is right there. My whole life would pass before my eyes. I would probably faint over. Let's go on. She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found what? Favor with God." Do not be afraid because you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name what? Jesus. Please don't miss what Gabriel is saying. Gabriel is saying to Mary, listen, the favor that God wants to bring into your life is a pregnancy when you're not even married yet. So yes, this is part of the beautiful Christmas story, but putting it in its context, Mary was probably full of fear and trepidation. But instead of placing what is about to happen in the context of the social and religious climate that existed definitely during her time, he says that this young woman around the age, historians believe around 15 or 16 years of age, that this young woman would give birth to a child and it would be considered by God as his favor. You know, one of the things that I do not like, surprises. I don't like to be surprised. I do like to surprise people. So watch out when I'm around. I'm a prankster. I know you find that hard to believe, but I love playing tricks on people. I love to surprise people. But that's the whole thing of this season and giving and receiving gifts, is being surprised. But have you ever, and I want you to be honest, you don't have to raise your hand. Just raise your hand inside. Have you ever received the gift and you opened it beautiful wrapping, beautiful ribbon, and you looked at it, and the first thought that came to your mind was, what was this person thinking when they bought me this gift? Don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Just look straight ahead. Some of you may be wearing that gift right now. I'm sure Mary must have thought, what is this angel thinking about to bring me this gift that he calls the favor of God? Doesn't he understand I'm not in a position to accept this gift? I'm engaged, yes, but I'm not married. Doesn't he understand the social and religious climate of my time? But he completely says to her and repeatedly says to her, this is the favor of God. You know, lately, I would say over the last several years, this term, the favor of God, has become very popular. It is a biblical term, but for the most part, we have a gross misunderstanding of what this term, favor of God, really means. Have you ever heard it? Whether on television, on radio, some teacher or preacher, what you need is the favor of God. I've got the favor of God in my life. And what they're talking about is that, as I heard one person say, well, I was driving in the mall in the crowded parking lot during the holiday season, and I couldn't find a parking space, but I knew the favor of God was on me. And then all of a sudden there was a parking space, and that was confirmation to me that the favor of God was in my life. Or as one person said, well, you know, I just got a promotion on my job. It's because of the favor of God in my life. But you got that promotion because someone else was terminated. That's what we think the favor of God is. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Favor is the same word in the Greek, charis, that we have for grace and gift. And although favor is tied to grace, there is also a distinction. And that distinction is that the favor of God is bigger, in a sense, than the grace. It is the blessing that God designs to put on your life and my life. I was looking for a definition that was theologically based on the favor of God, and I found one. It's by this pastor, teacher, writer, author, Stephen Furtick. He says, listen, God's favor is the guarantee of his presence and the provision of his power to accomplish his special purpose in and through your life. Listen to this next part. Hold on to your seats. It's not intended for your convenience. Uh-oh, somebody just stopped praying for favor. But for his what? Purpose. And it doesn't mean that your life is going to get easier. In fact, it almost certainly guarantees that your life is going to get harder. Listen, the favor of God is simply the assurance that you and I have that we will have God's presence with us for the thing that he has called us to accomplish in this life. It's not about making your life easier. And that's a far cry from what many well-meaning believers today think of when they think of the favor of God. Sometimes I think they think the favor of God means a favor from God. That I want God's favor because I see it as me receiving a favor from God. And they attribute God's favor to getting a cherished parking spot, or they attribute God's favor to getting a promotion or a position or some other material gain or wealth in their life. Then all of a sudden, I'm favored by God. But listen, Gabriel said to Mary, you're going to give birth to a child. You're not married. The climate is against you. Oh, by the way, that's God's favor on your life. Many times, God's favor does not look like we think favor should look. When you look at the lives of those throughout Scripture who had the favor of God on their lives were not made easier because they had God's favor. The Bible says that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And Noah, as you and I know, did not have an easy life. The Bible says he preached one message for 120 years, and the only converts he had was his wife and children and their spouses. But yet, he had favor. And the Bible talks about Joseph having favor, not when Joseph was released from prison, but while Joseph was in the midst of prison. The Bible says Joseph found favor in the eyes of God. Listen, biblical favor is the antithesis of what we call favor today in our religious culture. Oh, I've got the favor of God on my life. God is good to me. I'm going to walk in God's favor. You don't have any idea what you're talking about. God's favor doesn't make life easier. God's favor makes your life and my life more challenging. Because being a recipient of God's favor doesn't mean our lives will be a bit of ease. It does not mean we're going to gain some kind of prosperity.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Gift of Favor. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Your gift reminds someone facing uncertainty that God is with them every step of the way.
I actually just got laid off, so I've just been making it a thing to listen on the way to work in the morning and don't let myself get down. It's been really helpful the past couple of days.
When you make a gift of $250 or more, you not only jump in early with the WGTS year-end fundraiser,
you activate a separate gift, providing 10 meals for local families in need this holiday season.
Give today at WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and this week, Charles Tapp helps you discover an often overlooked gift God offers everyone. It doesn't always come perfectly wrapped with a bow on it, but it offers us something we all need as he continues his message, the gift of favor.
Doesn't mean our lives will be a bit of ease. It does not mean we're going to gain some kind of prosperity. What it does mean is that God has placed a special calling on your life and my life, and he says to me, you are favored because I'm going to be with you. Listen to this. God never calls you without equipping you for the calling he has placed on your life. Do you believe that? God's favor is closely aligned to God's sovereignty, meaning that God is ultimately in charge, that God is ultimately in control. And I think about that as I read this story, because one of the things that comes to my mind every time I read Luke 1, especially this portion, is why did God choose Mary? What was so special about Mary that God chose her over someone else? Why didn't he choose someone that was already married, that didn't have to deal with the political climate and the social and religious climate? I'll bring this thing even more home to you. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why did God choose her over me? Why is it that God allowed him to do this and not me? What I've discovered about God's favor is that God's favor is closely linked to his sovereignty, which means God's favor in our lives is not about us, it's more about God. And it's about what God wants to accomplish in our lives and through our lives. And that's what the Apostle Paul was referring to in 1 Corinthians 12 when he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. He says, listen, you may have this gift and another person may have that gift, but listen, it is the Spirit who determines and ultimately decides who receives what Spirit. In other words, Paul is saying, you and I have no reason to be jealous of what anyone else has because God's sovereignty is what determines who receives that particular gift. So this gift of favor is not about you. It wasn't about Mary. Mary wasn't more special than anyone else. God, in his sovereignty, chose Mary. And here's what we need to understand when it comes to this thing called the favor of God. That when God puts his favor in your life and my life, it is not for us alone, but it's for us to share with others. Let's take a look at this again in this story of Mary and go back to Luke chapter 1 as we look at verses 31 to verse 33. This is an excellent story on the favor of God. Look at what it says here. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what? Jesus. There's the key right there, verse 32. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Don't miss what he's saying here. Gabriel is saying, listen, although you have the favor of God, and this child that will be placed in you is an example of that favor, but don't think for a moment that God placing this baby in you is about you. It's about the salvation of the world. And when we look at the favor of God that way, when we recognize that God has his favor in our lives, it's not about me for me. It's about God's blessing in my life and how I can use that blessing to bless the lives of others. Who says amen today? Oh, you don't have to say amen. It's still true. Favor is not about you. It's not about me. It's about God using us to bless the lives of others. The favor of God upon Mary's life was bigger than Mary. It was about the salvation of mankind. Mary being favored by God was not just for her alone, but it was so that your sins and my sins could be wiped clean and that we could receive the salvation of God. That's what favor is all about. And although you can't earn favor, and I can't earn favor, we never need to forget that when you have the favor of God, you can lose the favor of God if you're not willing to walk in the will and the way of God. Look at the conversation between Moses and God in Exodus chapter 33. As God is telling Moses, it's time for you and the people to leave Mount Sinai. And Moses begins to have this conversation with God, and it's centered around God and his favor. Look at what he says. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to what? Find favor with you. Please don't miss that part. Moses is saying that if I want God's favor, his blessing, his sovereignty to continue in my life, then there's something I need to do, and that is I must follow the ways of God. Let's go on. Verse 14. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you what? Rest. Verse 15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How many of you want to go somewhere knowing God's not with you? There have been times in our lives we've gone places and we knew God was not with us. And when you know God is not with you, wherever you are on dangerous ground. And Moses said, listen, God, listen. We're fine with leaving Mount Sinai, but here's the thing. If you're not with us, not going to do it. Because he understood that without God's presence in his life, because of the favor on his life was of no value. In verse 16, he says, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? People know whether God is with you or not. But they also know when God is not with you. I don't care how many bumper stickers you have on your car. I don't care if you have a sign that says honk if you love Jesus. I don't care if you wear a big cross around your neck that's 2 feet long. That doesn't make you in a relationship with God. People know whether you truly have God with you. And Moses said, how are the people going to know that we're about anything, God, if you don't go with us? In other words, he's saying, if we don't have your favor in our life, then we don't want to go. Favor isn't about material blessing. Favor isn't about having a life full of ease. Favor is about knowing that God has a purpose for your life and that he also promises you his presence to see that purpose come to fruition. That's the favor of God. Doesn't mean your life is going to get any easier. As we've seen from Scripture, most times, if God's favor is really in your life, you're not going to be the most loved person. You will probably many times be the most hated person. But the thing that you and I can count on is that we'll have the presence and the protection and the provision of God with us. Amen? Several years ago, I told you a story of my first years in ministry. And I was so poor. How poor was I? My check was $500 a month. That's how poor I was. That was not including the rent, car payment, utilities, what else? Insurance, what else? Oh yeah, food. Food was the last thing on my list. I had to pay the car payment. This old car that broke down cost me more to repair it than it did for me to buy it. By the time I got through paying all of that, returning my tithe and offering, I didn't have money left over for food. I'm not joking. I literally did not have money left over for food. I was a single man. I didn't have money left over for food. I lived in New York. So there were days, and now that I think about it, it's even tough to even think about it. I had Kool-Aid, cherry Kool-Aid, with no sugar because I couldn't afford sugar. And that's before they had the pre-sweetened Kool-Aid. So there were days, Larry, I had Kool-Aid for breakfast, Kool-Aid for lunch, Kool-Aid for dinner. But I had the calling of God on my life. There were times I wanted to say, you can keep this, Jerry. I want some money. I want some food. And that's why I did much pastoral visitation in those days. Some of you got that. Oh, man, I go to the Saints' home around lunchtime. Oh, boy. We have our visit together. And as I would head for the door, I said, Pastor, would you like to stay for lunch? Oh, no, since I've got to go. Well, okay, you know. Having God's favor on my life didn't make it easier. But here's the thing. Those 2 years were two of the greatest years in ministry for me. It wasn't because of the material things that I had. It wasn't because my life was a bit of ease. It was because I knew I had the favor of God. Now, fast forward 33 years. I'm getting old. And I stand here before you because I recognize then that God's favor is in my life.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Gift of Favor. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
So God will push aside all of heaven to become one like us. Why? Because he has this unquenchable desire to be with us, not in a tent, but in the form of flesh.
When we reach out to those in need, we're allowing God's presence in us so we can be with them. Charles Tapp explains in a special message for the season next week, God with us. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
Gift reminds someone facing uncertainty that God is with them every step of the way.
I actually just got laid off, so I've just been making it a thing to listen on the way to work in the morning and don't let myself get down. It's been really helpful the past couple days.
When you make a gift of $250 or more, you not only jump in early with the WGTS year-end fundraiser,
you activate a separate gift, providing 10 meals for local families in need this holiday season.
Give today at WGTS919.com.